The liturgical sense of the readings at Mass. In today's first reading for the third Sunday of Lent, year C, from Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 and 13 through 15, we hear about the moment when God descended to deliver the Israelites, finding amusement in Moses' first question. Yet, the prelude to this divine encounter is equally captivating. Prior to this, Moses worked as a shepherd for his father-in-law Jethro. One day, while leading a flock across a barren land, he stumbled upon a sight that was both wondrous and mysterious. A bush ablaze, yet unscathed by the flames. In the days to come, as the Israelites grumbled about their hardships in the desert, Moses might have remembered these simpler times, when his flock was silent and undemanding. His curiosity led him to approach the burning bush, a brave and unusual act, for most would have retreated in fear. This curiosity set the stage for divine revelation and mission that would change history. In response to Moses approaching a burning bush with curiosity, the divine encounter begins with God demanding reverence from those who enter his presence, proclaiming, "Come no nearer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Following this, God reveals himself, declaring, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." He informs Moses that he witnessed the suffering and heard the cries of his people in bondage in Egypt, and he has chosen to rescue them, promising to lead them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Moses, seemingly overwhelmed by the enormity of his mission, momentarily forgets the significance of this divine introduction. Recall, God had just said, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." Still, rather than taking that information back to Egypt, that is God of our father Abraham, or it's the God of the burning bush even, Moses wants more. He seeks the revelation of a divine name. And the question, "What is your name?" Whereas Moses says, "If they ask me, what is his name? What am I to tell them?" It seems to amuse God. What should he say? Who named God? In reply, God does not reveal his name to Moses, but rather a description of who he is, saying, "I am who I am. Tell them I am sent me to you." For his part, Moses may have been considering the mindsets of the Israelites. In ancient Egypt, there were a multitude of gods, each with a distinct name. Reflecting later, he might have wished he had asked a more poignant question, such as, "What are you?" or "Why are you?" However, for now, it must have meant more to know that God has not forgotten about his people and that he sees our struggles. The Apostle Paul, in today's second reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 1 through 6 and 10 through 12, reflects on Moses' time with the Israelites in the desert. He perceives their daily manna and the miraculous water from the rock as prefiguring the Holy Eucharist, declaring with conviction, "All ate the same spiritual food and all drank from the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Paul further clarifies the connection between the two, stating, "The cup of blessing that we bless is not a participation in the blood of Christ. The bread that we break is not a participation in the body of Christ." Paul weaves these two blessings together because he sees them as a moment of mercy and remembrance that God provides those who are going through trials and temptations, saying in verse 13, "No trial has come to you but that which is human. God is faithful and will not let you be tried beyond your strength. But with the trial, he will also provide a way out, so that you may be able to bear it." Jesus must have seemed somewhat indifferent to the crowd in today's gospel reading from Luke chapter 13 verses 1 through 9, when it brought him the news of the day recounting the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. For the people, that sacrilege surely invoked deep distress. Some might have felt an urgent need for someone to do something about this great injustice perpetrated by Pontius Pilate. Yet Jesus' response did not even acknowledge Pilate, but instead focused on those who were grumbling about him. He declared, "If you do not repent, you all perish, just as the Galileans, or those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them." Yes, far too often in times of political turmoil, we find ourselves preoccupied with the sins of others, especially those under the scope of public scrutiny, while neglecting to attend to the absolution of our own sins. The parable of the fruitless fig tree reminds us of God's patience and constant remembrance of us. As Catholics, deeply rooted in the rich soil of the liturgy, we often fail to bear the fruits that God desires. We grumble about the sins of those around us, our priests, our bishops, even the Pope. We lament about the condition of the soil, comparing different liturgical practices and longing for what we perceive as richer experiences. Yet, if we truly embraced our purpose, focusing on holiness, we would find fulfillment in doing one sacred act rather than many unholy ones. Therefore, let us strive to be fig trees that flourish, bringing forth the fruits of faith, hope, and love, which God graciously cultivates within us.
This is just one way how the readings at Mass this Sunday connect to the liturgy, and how the liturgy is forming us how to live our lives in the world. Be in the world which you have received through the liturgy. I am David L. Gray. Visit me online at davidlgray.info for more content and context about the liturgical sense of the scriptures.